Like John, I'm sure you have some basic rules you live by. Maybe they're posted on your fridge or above your desk at work. We as a congregation actually have two sets of this kind of rule. We call them covenants. One is our general covenant and the other is our covenant of right relations. I also have some words of wisdom pinned to my bulletin board and posted in my scrapbooks. But you know, I've never committed myself to any one particular set of rules or commandments. Several years ago, at the end of a month-long retreat at the Plum Village Monastery, along with all the other participants, I was invited to take the five precepts of Buddhism. The five precepts are very straightforward: no killing, no stealing, no sexual misconduct, no lying, and mindful consumption. Now, I declined to take these precepts. And here's the story I told myself and my friends after coming back home about why I didn't take those precepts. I said that my understanding and my deep respect for these precepts included this understanding that these are for Buddhist practitioners, people who will call themselves Buddhist practitioners. They are the minimum moral obligation for anyone who is practicing. But I am an ordained Unitarian Universalist minister. So a practicing Buddhist, an active parish minister, I felt like I couldn't reconcile these two. And that's why I declined. That's why I said I declined. This week, things started to shift for me. This all started because I was very curious about this Jewish holiday called Shavuot. Shavuot starts in a couple of days on Wednesday, the 19th. I wanted to know more about this holiday that was centered around cheese blintzes and cheese kugel and cheesecake. I still don't quite understand why there's so much cheese involved in this holiday, but it did lead me to the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, which is the real reason for this season. So I started thinking about the Ten Commandments, but I just couldn't get very excited about them. They seem so archaic, so old-fashioned, and completely irrelevant to my life. Well, of course, I believe that you should not kill or steal or lie or cheat on your spouse. But really, how is that relevant to my daily life? And plus, I have to admit that I still have all of those negative associations in my mind. I still see Charlton Heston with the big white beard and the angry clouds and the lightning bolts, you know, etching all of the words onto the stone tablets. And I remember the voice of the great comedian philosopher George Carlin, who said, you know, we don't need the Ten Commandments. Well, we certainly don't need 10 commandments. Maybe two, but certainly not 10. And then I remembered this decision I made several years ago not to take the Buddhist precepts. And I realized that my allergy against or to religious authority is stronger than I really want to admit. I had to face the fact that, you know, I really don't want any religion telling me what I shall or shall not do. But my thinking has shifted in preparing for this message. I have found a way to reconcile Buddhist precepts and the Decalogue in a way that is meaningful to me and how I am called to live my life. And this reconciliation is what I want to share with you this morning. I start with the idea that committing to something does not have to mean relinquishing our freedom. Sometimes commitment can bring more freedom. Freedom from suffering that comes when I violate my true nature or violate the trust that another person has in me. Freedom that comes when I rest my faith in reality instead of the false idols of my ego. Now, I don't believe that the Decalogue was given to Moses by God. I believe they were written by human beings, probably divinely inspired, people who paid attention to life and paid attention to what opens up the heart and what hardens the heart. They found that if they practiced these 10 commandments, that they had more peace in their society, that there was more harmony in their families, and ultimately, there was more love in their hearts. 3 of these commandments are meant to bring peace to society. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. These seem so simple, don't they? I'm sure that most of you feel like you're in pretty good shape with these 3. But today's world is so much more complicated than that of Moses. Our lives and our destinies are intertwined, and so we end up contributing to killing and stealing by proxy. The very ground we walk on here was taken from the indigenous people. And state-sanctioned executions and war are just 2 ways in which we take part in killing by proxy. I don't want to say this to make us all feel guilty. That's not my point. I want to just help us to understand why there is so much brokenness and so much suffering in our world. George Packard is one of the 2.5 million people who served in Vietnam. After the war, George entered the Virginia Theological Seminary and was later ordained an Episcopal priest. Today, he is Bishop Packard and chaplain to all the Episcopalians in the armed forces and in the federal prisons. One of the reasons he entered the ministry, he said, was to try to tend to his own wounds while he helped others. I violated the commandment, he said, thou shalt not kill. I killed. I killed people. I took lives. There are days when I meet with people in a regular church meeting, trying to do things that are good in the world, and I look around and I think, I'm probably the only person here that has killed another human being. For this, he earned the Silver Star and 2 Bronze Stars for valor. We wrap our young soldiers with the stars and stripes of righteousness and send them off to kill for us, to kill for our safety, for our security. And when they come home, to try to tell us what it was like, about what they saw and what they did, we don't want to listen. We want to hear stories of heroism and valor and honor. We want to know that integrity was always the order of the day. We can't bear to listen to the stories of their terrible wound in their soul, of the lies that they were told to justify the killing. Bishop Packard found in his own heart that dark knot, the capacity that each one of us has to commit acts of brutality. When he came home from the war, he tried to show this dark knot to other people, but no one wanted to look into that mirror he was holding up. The Catholic philosopher Joseph Pieper once commented that one of the deepest sources of psychic illness in our society is the lack of courage to accept injury. our lack of courage to accept injury and suffering. Now, even when we feel so completely overwhelmed and powerless to do anything about the war and other types of killing that go on, the very least we can do is to have the courage to look into that mirror and to accept the pain that it brings. As for this third commandment about coveting your neighbor's house, some would argue that this desire is the very root of capitalism, and to deny it would be downright un-American. But I think we all know, we've talked about it a lot, that a mind that is constantly clinging to what it doesn't have misses the very life it does have. And so, using the language of the Buddhist precepts, and knowing that I will not be perfect in this endeavor, here are my first three rules for living. I am determined not to kill. I vow to cultivate compassion and respect for all life wherever possible, and to protect the lives of people, animals, and plants. I am determined not to take that which does not belong to me, which includes the practice of right livelihood. I vow to practice generosity by sharing my time, my energy, and my resources. I am determined not to succumb to greed. I vow to practice mindful consumption of food, consumer products, and the media. The next four commandments are meant to bring greater harmony to our families and our close communities. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not take the name of your Lord, your God, in vain. Honor your mother and your father. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Bearing false witness is more than simply telling a lie. It includes all kinds of unmindful speech. It includes slander and gossip, character assassination, rumor, insults, and curses. Taking the Lord's name in vain is included in this list because it has to do with living up to your word, your sworn oath. There's an old story of a king who once asked his aide to go out into the kingdom and find that one thing that brings both the greatest joy in life and the greatest suffering. The aide went out and he was gone for many days, and finally he returned and came back with the human tongue. Bearing false witness does the greatest damage when it happens in insular communities. The closer the group, it seems, the greater the stakes are, and the more competition for power, the higher the emotions. Several years ago, this community was divided by conflict that was made worse by unmindful speech on email chats, in meetings, posted on bulletin boards. Since then, we have been cultivating mindful speech. And through the Committee on Right Relations, we have a mechanism now for reconciling and resolving differences. The next two commandments, they refer specifically to family relationships. Of all the social forms, the family has gone through the biggest changes over the last several thousand years. Since the mores regarding marriage and children, wives and elderly parents have changed so dramatically, what are we to do with these particular commandments right here in Williamsburg in the year 2010? Now, for me, honoring my parents, it's just part of my Confucian DNA. And since they were not abusive or neglectful, I don't have any problem with this one. So I guess I can just check this one off my list, right? Well, Let me slow down a little bit and think a little more deeply about this one. Felicia reminded me of a scene from a movie I saw several years ago. Amistad, released in 1999, is a true story about a group of enslaved Africans who overtake their captor's boat when they're trying to, and they try to take it to their homeland. They are sadly captured and charged with murder. The day before the trial, John Adams, the lawyer defending the African, Sinke, warns him that the trial will be difficult. "We won't be going there alone," Sinke says. And Adams answers, "Alone? Oh, indeed not. No, we have right on our side. We have righteousness on our side. We have..." And Sinke interrupts, "I meant my ancestors. I will call into the past, far back to the beginning of time, and beg them to come and help me at the judgment. I will reach back and draw them into me, and they must come. For at this moment, I am the whole reason they have existed at all." If you were here at the Live Off 5 concert on Friday, you heard Kim and Reggie Harris talk about their ancestors, slaves brought to Virginia, made to work, made to lie with their masters. You know, none of us appeared on this earth, just appeared, independent, unconnected to history. We are a continuation of 6 million years of ancestors. They are the reason we exist, and we are the whole reason they existed at all. Honoring your mother and your father doesn't necessarily mean that you have to call your parents every Sunday, although that would be nice. It doesn't mean that you should feel guilty that you can't move them into your house or visit them every Christmas. Honoring your parents means living your life in a way that brings honor to them and all those who went before. Now, the third commandment in this set is about adultery. Have you ever heard of the Wicked Bible? The Wicked Bible. In 1631, an error in printing, maybe a Freudian slip, caused the commandment to be printed, "Thou shalt commit adultery." To me, this commandment really isn't about sex. It's about deceitfulness. Deceiving others, like our spouse, but mostly deceiving ourselves about what we really want, about the truth of our desires. When we spend hours cruising singles chat sites while our partner is asleep or making dinner, is that excitement really what our hearts truly desire? When a teenager pushes his girlfriend to have sex with him because he doesn't want to be the only virgin in his class, is he being truthful to his deep self? Because I want to cultivate my ability to listen to the suffering of others and the suffering that exists in my own mind and in my own heart, here are the next 3 rules for living. I am determined not to bear false witness. I vow to cultivate mindful speech, deep listening, and the integrity of my word. I am determined to honor my mother and my father. I vow not to betray my ancestors through my deeds, words, or thoughts. I am determined not to engage in sexual misconduct. I vow to practice truthful living, to honor my commitments and the commitments of others.